I see him.
Hot Rod.
You've not got a Daniel, that's the thing. We need a little Daniel.
Yeah, we all need a Daniel, don't we? In our lives. We started.
We do. I think we started, of course.
Just so
should
we
keep it like this low energy like this the whole time?
Look, Hot Rod! There's a hole in the shuttle! And he zooms in. Decepticons! And then they come flying out, and then it blows up, and he flies down, and you see the close one down. And then the tank comes down and says, come on down, auto brat. And then Cup stops in with the... And in doing that, it hits the Insecticon. And then they zoom off down to Autobot City. Bang in.
Welcome back, kids, to another episode of... Fuck it. Hello, everybody. Wait, now you're laughing. Right, 3, 2, 1. All right. Welcome, everyone, back to it. No.
All right. This time, okay?
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Vice Press Open Channel, where we get together to talk about the things we've made, the things we've watched, the things we've done. This week, we've done none of those things, so we're just going to have a sneaky little question and answer episode. It's also not our usual recording day. We're bumping it forward, so we've not watched anything or done anything since we last spoke. But you've been nice enough to send through a whole bunch of questions, I think. James has a little list there, and we're just going to wheel through them and see what pops out.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, we've got loads.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to say, that's James.
Hello.
That's Matthew Ferguson. And this is me. All right, go.
Are we jumping straight into questions?
Questions, quick fire.
I totally forgot about this until I pretty much turned the camera on, so I'm not overly rehearsed today.
Should we tell the kids what we're going to do with regards to these questions?
Answer them.
Yeah, so we're going to give each week, we're going to give a little something. Maybe not every week. We'll tell you.
Depends. Oh, you're giving something away? See, I didn't say that.
Oh, wow.
Nobody gets free shit off of me.
Yeah,
off of me.
We're going to give a mystery tube this week. We're going to give a mystery tube to the best question.
A whole tube?
I'm not deciding the best question. We'll collectively decide the best question.
Oh.
So we've had quite a lot. So thanks, everyone, for chipping in. So we'll dive straight into them. So if you do want to leave a question for a future episode, you can comment on the on YouTube. That's the best way to do it.
Like and subscribe.
Yeah.
Or you can send a message, a comment, or whatever. You're all right, Flory.
Yeah. He's just having a bit of a meltdown, I think.
Okay.
Just ask a question.
Ask a question. So this one's from Luke James.
Hi, Luke.
Hello, Luke. So thanks for the question. Have you liked? Ooh. Have you subscribed? Considering Toxic Avenger got a recent reboot movie, or has an upcoming recent movie, I guess, which seemingly forgotten property do you think deserves a new release, or I guess a reboot or a remake? Luke says he'd love to see Thundercats return.
Which is happening, right? Reboot that again. Start that again, please. Go back to The Last Jedi. Legacy sequel to the Last Jedi. That would be where I'd start it. You know,
I like The Rise of Skywalker, so no, I'm don't. Mad, obviously. I do.
I don't like it
in terms of the overarching story or anything, but I like the film on its own merits. If it's like, if you think Flash Gordon, this film's weird. What's James doing? What's going on?
I don't know. Someone sent
us a comment on YouTube that I didn't want to miss. So I was just making sure I'd go.
Wouldn't that be good? We're like, the best way to do it is to comment on YouTube and then we don't read the YouTube comments.
But then speaking of that Flash Gordon, I would go for a reboot of Flash Gordon, I think.
Yeah. I think we've talked about that
maybe
more than a few times, that someone just needs to get nuts with old Flash Gordon. The only problem is, like, do you keep the tunes or do you get someone else? Do you get Daft Punk back in to do another soundtrack somehow?
Daft Punk could be a good call, wouldn't it?
Just go crazy and get, like, Taylor Swift or something.
Who would you cast as Flash? What would your dream casting be for Reacher. Flash Gordon?
Yeah, it's got to be somebody who can play dumb.
Well, have you seen Fast X? Because,
yeah. I wouldn't mind the Golden Boy from Guardians. He was basically. He's quite good.
Yeah.
Not American, though, but I suppose he can just put an American accent on.
Yeah.
I think everyone thought he was American for most of his career, so.
Jason Momoa is Brian Blessed's character. Is it Vol?
Yeah, sure.
No, it's got to be Jack Black, right?
Actually, it's just got to be Brian Blessed again.
Is he not dead?
He's not dead. He's still dead.
He's still shouting
now. He's up on Everest going, "We're going to Jedi!"
He's still on set. He's just been doing the whole thing his whole life.
It's the best.
Never stopped.
He's a national treasure in England. We love him.
He is, yeah.
He goes on morning TV here, and they don't know why. I don't know why they keep having him on morning TV, because he just swears. He can't help himself.
Perfect.
Oh, him and that's Miriam why. Margulies would make the ideal you this morning host.
He went on with it probably about Brexit or some other political thing, and he was just mouthing off, and it was just so funny.
Well, that's what you want, right? Yeah, isn't breakfast TV over there? It's specifically designed to go off the rails, right? Like, that's the point of it? Yeah.
It's really tempered down. I remember the Big Breakfast days and stuff. They were...
Yeah, but This Morning still does weird segments, doesn't it? Like, we don't watch it. We catch it on Gogglebox when they have a weird segment. And it's always just like, what are they thinking?
Well, there's that classic one with the chef on there, right? And he's talking about creaming himself or whatever, and all that sort of stuff.
There's one on Gogglebox the other week where they had like a sort of sex toys section, and this woman who tried them all out, and she was like, nah, this one didn't do the business.
This one,
and he's just like, what are you doing?
Didn't even touch the signs.
It's 10 o'clock in the morning. What is going on?
Wow. Is that like breakfast radio? Because there's always that weird shit, because they run those shows from like 6 till 9, right? Or even earlier. So like that first hour, nobody's listening to it. So it's just like all wild shit.
Yeah. You guys have pretty wild stuff over there though. Like I watch, I quite like Australian TV, but you have that Jimmy and Nath on the radio. What are they liked over there? Is it Jimmy and Nathan?
I've never heard of those people before.
They pop up on my Instagram a lot.
We watched the Australian Repair Shop the other day, and it was not good.
Is it just a bunch of guys going, nah, mate, it's fact.
No.
They've got like a guy, but he's obviously not Steve, and they've got...
The problem is they're not...
The
it's
format,
not the people.
But it's not right. It's not right, yeah. They've so not I, got I watched... Jay, who's just like, what are you doing? They've not got the main guy.
You're bruiser. You're geezer. But it's like... It's you can tell all these people are good at the things, right? But the problem is the repair shop is the repair shop because it's those people saying those things they just do it the way they do it, right? Whereas they've got this in there, like right now, replicate the format. So they're not acting naturally and kind of being them. It's a bit odd. It's like it's a bit like Grand Designs and stuff. It's always the original works the best, and then they replicate it and it just doesn't quite work.
That comes back to the question, I suppose, which we've gone off the rails on.
Answer that.
Remakes and reboots are good, but are they ever as good as the original?
They can be. So I think what James is asking here is like, so I guess more he's chosen Thundercats, which there's never been a Thundercats film, I guess. Thundercats would be one for me. I think I'd love to see it. I've always wanted to see a live-action Thundercats film.
I think it would work better as a CG, but go Avatar.
I think they're doing that. Let me look it up. Because I know the director, I just can't remember it.
Because they seem to be doing that with, like, they've got Masters of the Universe as well and stuff, haven't they? But, Flash Gordon's a good show.
I like those. There's not many, but there was a few in the 80s that are fantasy but sci-fi at the same time. So they have swords, sorcery, but then lasers as well, you know, like Krull and bullshit like that. So they should do more of them, because like the Thor Ragnarok was a bit like that. That's sort of like swords and sorcery crossed with sci-fi.
That
genre it needs to come back.
I agree with you. I think I was talking to Greg Staples about this not long back. Like, you kind of, where you get those kind of weird kind of mashups, like lasers with swords is always cool. cowboys with swords. Just give swords to anything with swords.
It's a bit like what they did with Prey to a certain extent, where they did a sort of Western almost with the Native Americans, but then a predator is running around in it. And I love that sort of crossover. More
yeah. A lot of those like 80s cartoons did it really well, didn't they? Like you got that kind of, it's between fantasy and stuff. How about you, Florrie?
Oh, he's gone.
I wasn't listening to anything you're saying. I'm just reading this article about the Thundercats film.
Oh, are they doing?
No,
are
it's
they doing
Adam
something?
Wingard. Who's Adam Wingard? Who's So he was meant to be doing it for ages, and they're sort of saying like they're doing it. I don't know. Somewhat
what did
like
he
the Lion
direct?
King.
I know that name. What did he?
He's done those recent Godzilla films, but before that, he did better films, which were. Did he do The Guest, Adam?
Yeah, that's really good.
The Guest is a good movie, yeah.
I want to say that might have been the other chap that I was confusing but for.
He did
Your Next and The Guest.
Yes.
The two recent Godzilla Kong movies.
Mm.
What's important is they get that that it's crap.
Mm.
It's like presented in a way, this is stupid. Let's just have a laugh for 2 hours, you know? So that's kind of like an important line to draw, and that's why him doing something like Thundercats or Flash Gordon or whatever would be good, because he obviously understands that fine line between this is cheesy crap, but also still well done. And sort
and
of...
as a motion-captured CGI thing, that you could see him being able to do that now, having basically just done that with this most recent one where there's like nobody in it.
it's just loads of Kongs and stuff.
Loads of
it?
Kongs. Kong Fest.
He's Dan Stevens is in that most recent Kong film, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Because he's his old mate.
Yeah,
which is good.
Whenever Dan Stevens is in the film, it elevates my interest. And he doesn't seem to, again, we were talking about this with Golden Boy last week, but he seems to pop up sporadically. He's somebody that I think should maybe have a bigger career than they
maybe
have, but then is that unfair?
Maybe he doesn't care to.
I think he's just going to be one of those guys that will be around for hopefully, it looks like forever, because he keeps popping up and he keeps being good. He's in something
Dan
else.
Dan Stevens, 10 stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
10 stars. Talking about breakfast TV, he had one of those kind of viral things on English breakfast TV, didn't he?
Did he?
That's what. Yeah. He popped up on a BBC.
Beating off.
Yeah.
The best ever one was the Blade Runner interview with Alison.
Where
she's just like, I haven't seen the film and stuff. And cracking out the booze and stuff.
That's right. Another question?
Oh, yeah, go on.
Yeah, okay. We've gone off all the rails a bit. Next question.
This is from Oliver Rankin. That was a good question, Luke. Thank you very much. It remains to be seen whether it will win anything. Stick around, you'll find out. This one's from Oliver Rankin. So Matt pointed this one out and I noticed it as well. But what unconventional sources outside of film inspire your pasta? What unconventional sources outside of film inspire your poster designs?
Like carbonara.
That's for you too.
Unconventional sources.
Carbonara is my favourite. Oliver's a really good artist as well. He's done bits and bobs for us.
Well, like to work with Oliver. Canal, I think, doesn't he?
Yeah, I'd like to work with Oliver.
Like
again.
Creative director.
Excellent.
Artists would be. I'd said this on Twitter earlier on, actually. So David Hockney, I always liked.
Yes.
And there's a photographer called Amsel Adams who did black and white photography, and I've always liked his compositional style. And then compositional wise, John Carpenter is the best. Any kind of composition ever. So you just look at the way he composes shots, and you can think, how can I put that into a poster? There you go. That's my answer.
Mm. I pretty much just copy whatever Matt does. No, I just can't really think of any. I mean, what's unconventional? I mean,
well, I think
for me,
not other poster artists. So
yeah,
that's
right.
Why I said those.
So
things.
Probably. A lot of old comics, really. Because
Todd McFarlane, that's the other one, old Toddy Boy.
Yeah, like even in front of me now, I'm like looking at my old, like, bits and prints of X-Men and Amazing Fantasy and all that sort of stuff up on my wall. I just, there's something about that stuff when they didn't let it get in its own way. Like a lot of comic covers and stuff now is, there's just a lot going on, and there's a lot of coloring and there's a lot of stuff. I think there's something to be said for like, right, you got to show these five peanuts using their powers against this man that nobody knows, and to do it in one. And the plane of action is quite simple too. There's like not that much depth usually to them and stuff like that.
Well, it's like the famous one, isn't it? Like the Frank Miller cover for Batman, you know?
You can go back and watch that episode if you want. It's got a name that we thought was genius at the time, and then nobody understood what we were talking about.
To me, so there's artists that I'm a fan of. Like, I really like Ralph Steadman's art. Ralph Steadman's art's incredible. I've got a framed art print in my guitar room. The other thing for me is, I'd say like late '80s, early '90s toy packaging. Those were always really cool. Like, you know, the G.I. Joe stuff, the He-Man stuff, Ghostbusters. And outside of that, the Transformers. In my mind, some of my favorite things with old toys. I've got one here, actually. I've got a... I like the Ghostbusters one. Everyone's seen that. But shit like this. Like, this is the original Batman box.
That's hot.
Just that kind of packaging. I'm almost more of a fan of the packaging than I am the actual thing.
I love to get to do packaging. It's like, when we do the steel books, or like that soundtrack for Transformers that I recently did, the art bit is fine, but actually putting it together into a package and doing like the track listing and then the little J card thing is way more exciting to do. I love doing all that sort of shit.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah,
and so it's always my favorite thing to do as a graphic designer, which I was before I started drawing my own pictures. Packaging anything with more form than just the flat plane of the poster, it makes it more exciting, I think.
And I think the modern day kind of masters of that are definitely like Phantom City Creative. They're really good at doing that.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, we can't talk about it at all yet because it's something you're working on, but there's some, like, Flory, you're incredibly good at that kind of thing as well, I think, personally.
Is he making some kind of toy?
Yes. Well, trying to, you know, if we can
get to the end of it. Tim Burton, I've always liked Tim Burton's art. His little sketchy sketches. Good question, Oliver?
That was a good question. We didn't go off the rails on that one, so that was definitely better than the last question. Although the last question led to interesting talk.
Well, that's the thing, isn't
it? We ended up just talking shit, so
What makes it a better question? I don't know.
At
the end, we'll decide for sure. Next question!
I like this question a lot, which doesn't necessarily mean it'll win. But I'm going to add my own spin to this question as well.
Oh, no.
So
do you win the mystery tube if this is the best one?
This is from Adam Shepherd. Again, more for you two, but I'm going to answer with something in a bit as well. So what album cover do you wish you designed or could redesign? So I'll let you two think about that for a minute, because I have a bit more chance. But one of my favourite album covers of all time is the Green Day Dookie album cover. I love that. It just works in so many different ways. I had a poster.
Everyone had that poster, yeah.
It's great. You had the square cover, but then they did the extended bit. I've got a guitar pedal where it's on printed on the guitar pedal as well. I might pop it up. Whoosh!
How would you redesign it, James?
Well, I wouldn't redesign it, because I can't design shit. But... the question was, what album cover do you wish you'd designed? I wish I designed that.
Yeah.
Or what cover could you redesign?
Yeah, yeah.
James Buscema, who we work with a lot, he does a hell of a lot of metal album covers.
He did that really cool one with like that exploding head.
Yeah.
With like the guitar coming in.
Just the best shit ever.
Yeah. I've got an answer. I love his artwork. Go.
One of my favorite albums of all time, it's a perfect album, Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars by David Bowie.
I didn't know that was one of your favorite albums. I love that album.
Yeah, I love every track absolutely killer. Every single one.
It's a very good album.
But now it's interesting because that cover is perfect because it is the cover, right? We know it. we've seen it. Everyone thinks it's, I don't know if you can see it on my camera from here, but I've got the Aladdin Sane in one over there that was my dad's copy of the album. Everyone thinks that's the cover for it if they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But I don't necessarily think that cover fits the theme of the album, being a concept album and then the story to it. I would redesign that. And I actually have done it before. It's bad, but there was a show, I forget what it was called and where it even was, but it was called like 12 by 12 or something. And it was, the theme of the show was 12 inch prints that were redesigned album covers. And I did it like all gold with like a, I don't know, I guess you'd call it like a version of the, what's the Da Vinci, like, you know, the man, old mate with his legs and arms.
Oh
spread.
Yeah.
Vitruvian man. That's it.
Yeah, that's the one. So I'd sort of like that, but I wouldn't do that. I just would do something now that I can actually fucking draw. And I couldn't 5 years ago when I did that. I would love to do something with that, that more invokes the overall story of the thing.
I like that. Yeah.
That's good.
About you, Matty?
So, I always like Iron Maiden album covers because they're just cool with Eddie on and stuff. So that, cool, they would be the most fun to do. So, not necessarily redesign one of them, but just do an Iron Maiden
the
album
new
cover.
One.
Yeah, because they're just, you know, you're doing, I don't know, coming out of a submarine or something and it exploding. Be fun. But
do you think
the one I would have loved to have designed was AC/DC Back in Black, because A, it's literally 5 minutes work, and B, to be able to say I did that, like,
yeah,
and everyone was
like, all black, like the
fucking best album ever. I like that. Everyone bought that. Yeah, I designed it. Yeah, that one, Back in Black,
with the Iron Maiden covers, because they always have a theme, right? So they're like, all right, it's Eddie, but it's in Egypt, or it's the war or something. Do you think Iron Maiden has any input on that, or do you think that's just like their guys or whatever are just like,
I think they do. I think Bruce Dickinson loves all that sort of stuff because obviously he's a massive nerd. He loves The Prisoner, he loves 2000 AD, he loves Dune, he loves all that sort of stuff, which is why half of their songs are about those things, you know? So,
okay. Yeah, I don't really know.
There's a whole song about The Prisoner, which is great, back in the village, and then there's one about Dune, and it just goes on about like the sandworms and stuff.
Am I going to have to start listening to fucking Iron Maiden's back catalogue now? God,
my favourite song like that ever isn't by them, though. It's the Judge Dredd one by Anthrax. That is the coolest metal song ever.
Yeah.
Judge Dredd and Mega City.
I'm not across Anthrax either.
You should listen to...
What have I been listening to?
You should listen to the Judge Dredd Anthrax song because it is just so good.
James, put it up now in its entirety. Go.
I remember having quite a cool cover. Like Ian, what was his name? Ian Scott. It might just be Ian Scott.
He's a Bon Scott's brother.
Big old fan. The other album cover that I really like, just as a separate thing, is Megadeth, Rust in Peace. I don't know. I always really liked that cover. That was cool.
Megadeth had good albums, a bit like Iron Maiden ones, didn't they? Like, just ridiculous.
Yeah.
What a great name for a band, though, too, eh?
Yeah.
Megadeth. Awesome band. Like, you know what you're getting.
Manowar,
that's a good one. Manowar.
Going back to what you were saying, though, Flory, about albums that maybe the covers aren't really about. You've got Faith No More, Angel Dust. Like, that's one of my favourite albums of all time. But that cover with the swan, I guess?
It never
made any sense to me, especially when you look at things like The Real Thing and all of that lot.
It just becomes the album cover, though, doesn't it? And then it's like, oh, cool, that's the album cover.
Yeah. Good question.
It's like Pinkerton's got a really good cover.
Yeah.
And I just like it because the album's amazing.
See, I reckon that Faith No More
cover...
Hello,
Siri.
Unplug Siri.
Yeah, good. That Faith No More cover, though, is the best album cover they've got, though. That's the thing. The rest of them, I hate them because they got this weird border thing on them and all this, like, types of shit, but that one's decent. But, yeah, I don't really know the album, but it makes me think of an Enya sort of situation, though.
Yeah. Good cue. I liked that one.
Mm.
I've been listening to Enya a little bit.
Oh,
have you?
Yeah.
I remember once we put...
and you calms me down.
Once we turned this on and you hadn't turned your music off yet because you weren't expecting anyone to come on, and you're just sitting there. What's happening? And he's just like, oh yeah, I'll take my little drawing glove off. I'm like, what were you doing? He's like, oh, just working. What's wrong with this kid?
If I'm intensely with work, then it has to be thrash metal. Yeah, that gets me really, especially if I'm under the gun on something extremely loud, death metal comes on. But you know, I don't force that on other people, you know. I don't make it my whole personality.
It's just not your vibe, though.
I love it, though. Angry music's the best.
Mm-hmm. This question is from Todd D. Rov.
All right, Todd. How's it hanging, Todd? We're doing it like it's live, aren't we?
Thanks for the question, Todd. Which
your foster parents are dead.
Which legacies?
James is broken. He's having a fit.
Is Wolfie there?
Which?
Oh Jesus!
Which legacy sequels, with legacy sequels being the big thing. Which franchise would you make a sequel to? Choose a director and two leads.
Didn't we already do this one? Oh, no, remakes, weren't we?
We're doing remakes. I liked this question.
What a legacy sequel is, though. It is a remake, really.
No,
isn't it?
No.
No,
essentially,
it's
a way to... Force Awakens is like a remake of Star Wars. Ghostbusters Afterlife is sort of like a... It's a way to introduce a new audience to an old thing. That's what a legacy sequel is. Even though it's new, it's still kind of, it's like an in-between. It's like, it's not just a sequel.
This is something that annoys me, and it's always annoying me that people, not me, you've maybe just misspoken. I'll let you pass on this one, but everyone uses remake and reboot interchangeably, and it drives me fucking nuts.
No, a reboot is when it's the same universe, the same thing. Whereas a reboot, what was I saying?
A reboot,
See? Point proven.
Remake is where it's completely new. Like the new Crow is a remake. New people. If they rebooted the Crow, it would have to be linked to the original one somehow and be in the same universe.
Yeah.
So like, no, Roadhouse, that'd be a legacy, is a remake sequel of Roadhouse.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying a legacy sequel is a way to keep a franchise alive, because like it dies out eventually, right?
Anyway,
like E.T., nobody cares about it because they didn't do a legacy sequel.
A legacy sequel specifically has to have cast and locations from
the same,
the original,
yeah, because
and callbacks. Whereas a reboot
usually,
is complete. We're rebooting. We don't have to call back. We can call back, but we don't need to.
That's a remake.
A remake is when you take a film that's already made and you just take its bare bones essential parts and you can redo it in any fashion.
Yeah, that's right.
So those are three different things, but they are close to each other.
Yeah.
And now
legacy
I don't know
sequels.
What I just said either, so...
Legacy sequels are designed to keep a franchise alive, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, like, anyway, in 10 years, they'll do a legacy sequel to Transformers, probably.
Yeah. What we're going to do is we're going to answer it based on what we think our own personal opinion of a legacy sequel is. So, I'm going to go...
There's no opinion.
...with...
Go.
I know which I'm going to choose already, but go
so
on.
So, I'm going to go Batman.
Like, that's what I was going to say. Best friends!
Batman 89, Batman Returns, Dark Knight Returns, Michael Keaton, come back. Now, you could do it two ways. There's two ways. I will allow two ways that they could do this. They could either do Dark Knight Returns or they could do Batman Beyond.
I think they do both and they make two movies. That's what I've said for years.
Okay.
Start with the Dark Knight Returns. Then he realizes he's too old to do it.
Yeah.
Then Batman Beyond, he gets a kid to take over.
Okay, cool. Yeah. In terms of cast, so I'm going to ignore The Flash. The Flash doesn't count. The Flash is, one, it's god-awful, and two, it kind of had,
Let's just not talk about it.
Anyway, yeah, so obviously you've got old mate Keaton's going to be back. You know, Michelle Pfeiffer, bring back her. Michelle Pfeiffer would be cool to bring back as Catwoman and things along those lines. In terms of new cast,
who would be Robin? Would they bring? Would you get the one from the Val Kilmer one? Who's Robin? But or would you go for someone?
Easy
or would
idea.
You go for a young? Because yeah. it's a thingy, and it's a new Robin, isn't it? In the Dark Knight Returns, in the comic,
yeah. The I think yeah. you could.
They get to do the cool like glasses and shit. Then, don't you?
See, I wouldn't mind either way. Whether you kind of had forever and or whatever is continuity. I don't think you need to. I think it kind of gives you more breathing space. I'm just trying to think of like actors and stuff who they could bring in. I think I like
just Michael Keaton would be enough, wouldn't it, really?
Yeah. No, I mean in terms of the new characters like the Robin, I can't remember the Robin character's name in Dark Knight Returns. Cassie? Is it Cassie?
Yes.
I've not read it for a while.
I can't remember the girl's name that was in Game of Thrones that played what?
Dave Bautista as the mutant leader.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And then Michael Keaton's going to like show him what's what and like break all of his arms and legs.
Yeah. So that'd be my. And bring Tim Burton back to do it. Why not? Bring Tim Burton back.
I would say maybe not.
Let's see if Beetlejuice is any good, eh?
Yeah.
But then going back to Adam Wingard, I think Adam Wingard has a good sense of those kind of things. He's quite fun. With that kind of sentiment, I guess.
Yeah.
And Dan Stevens would be a good, you know, like the Joker kind of character-esque that they had in Batman Beyond. He'd make a good villain, I think. I'm just struggling who's to who they can get to play Batman Beyond. And I think, what about you two?
Well, what he's going to be, what's
Timothy,
he going to be
Timothy Chalamet can be Batman.
Oh, yeah, it could be Terry. It is Terry, isn't it?
Yeah, Terry, yeah.
Yeah.
Put him in a tight black suit again. Perfect.
Yep. Everyone would go wild.
He's already got one at home. But by then he'd be, what, 38 by the time we actually get to
that. There'll be someone new, but there'll be someone new by then.
Yeah. And whatever. And my opinion is Florence Pugh can be in it, but she can be in anything.
Yes. Please and thank you.
Yes.
Everything.
She does a lot with a little. For example, in Dune, she's in it for, what, 5 minutes, and she's fucking awesome.
She's just got something. She's, like, got that, similar to Emma Stone. Her and Emma, like, I'm a big fan of Emma Stone's. I watched La La Land again the other day. Oh, I really like it.
No, that's not a good musical.
I love it.
Singing in the Rain is a good musical.
Yeah, of course it is.
It's just, well, it's just like so flaccid. Ugh, no, it wasn't for me.
Oh, I liked it. Anyway, what's your two choice?
What we're talking about?
Legacy sequels.
Oh, yeah, I said Batman already. I agreed with you.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, because what are they not doing that has any
Batman.
Point being done? But no, yeah, well that, but what, Goonies, were they ever going to do that? They're all too old.
No, don't like, do that.
You can't do that. I don't know. Nothing. Just leave it alone. Leave them alone.
It's when there's a reason. I think there's a good reason for Batman, because The Dark Knight Returns is such a good story. They've got it there. Just on the side, waiting to be made. It's like
what started all this was Tron, right? It's literally why one of the reasons it's called a legacy sequel, because Tron kind of made the format with Tron Legacy, and it's like
was there any before that?
In my mind, canon.
There was called the Cool Hand Luke sequel, Colour of Money. That's the earliest one I can think of.
But no one really remembers that is. Sequel, right?
That was the Indiana Jones, but that was separate, because Indiana Jones is just an adventure. It's not like,
and it just took a while. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Wall Street, there was that one, wasn't there?
Yeah,
that might have been after though. That might have been after Tron.
Maybe so. Either way, they were both bad.
Tron Legacy's not.
No,
bad.
Not Tron Legacy. I'm about Wall Street, and then the sequel.
It's of its time, isn't it?
Mm.
Aren't they making a new American Psycho? I heard that they might be making the new American Psycho.
That seems like a thing you don't need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a bit strange.
The thing is, like I said, they feel like they've got to keep stuff alive. It's why they remake, like, Disney cartoons as live action because they want to keep it alive. And that's when you think of ones that they haven't, they've got maybe a 30-year shelf life.
So Blues Brothers 2000.
E.T. seems to be... Nobody cares about E.T., do they? Blues Brothers 2000! You're right.
Yeah.
That was a good 20 years after, wasn't it?
Yeah, they just hadn't coined the term. No, this is the problem. I think that's why, and that's why what I was going to say was after Tron Legacy, I was like, oh, do this for everything. Then they did it for everything, and they were mostly not good. So,
there's some good ones. Ghostbusters.
Afterlife
is
the best. Afterlife is one of the best.
Star Wars Force Awakens is really good.
Yeah. I'm still a big fan. I support things like, you know, Edgar Wright redoing Running Man and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of
ground. So that's a remake.
RoboCop. They still need to do a good RoboCop.
RoboCop Returns. They need to do that with Peter Weller, and they find him in the basement because all of the new robots are on some sort of weird AI internet thing, right? And going crazy. And we need one that's analog. And they get him out of the basement and he's like,
Robo needs Oreos.
And he just shoots all of the AI and all of the internet.
Puts his big spike in the internet.
Yeah. And then saves humanity. That's what we need right now in real life.
Yeah. Not, you're not wrong. Would the internet look like the box that they tricked the woman in or the IT crowd carrying around with a red... He just stabs that.
And he just... Perfect. Smash it on the floor and then stamp on it with his foot.
I'd green light that.
Yeah. Good question.
Mm.
That's the winner so far, probably.
Yeah.
Ooh. Stop spoiling the conjecture that we're going to have at the end.
I won't be able to remember. I won't be able to remember I said.
Now you've said that, Adam, Oliver, and Luke have all turned off and gone, I don't fucking need to listen to the rest of this then.
Good riddance.
So, Lauren Galloway, I'm enjoying this. Lauren Galloway asked three questions. But I think we've answered a couple of them before. I mean, we'll just go over one of them very, very quickly because I think we can all just go bash, bash, bash on this one. What is the first movie poster you ever fell in love with?
Transformers the movie. And it was more because it was on the video box, but also it's the poster. And I loved it. I wanted it. Transformers the movie was the first for me, definitely.
Yeah, the Ghostbusters one for me.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that was my... That was
a big deal. But Transformers was before that by about 4 or 5 years for me.
Yeah. I remember the Spider-Man 2 being... the first Spider-Man one being really cool as well. Anyway, dream franchise to work with in the future. This is from Lauren as well.
Ghostbusters. Let's go Ghostbusters Uno. Just because it'd be really cool to do a proper full-blown movie poster for that.
I think with Ghostbusters as well, the thing that kind of I think folks are getting, and one of those things I'd really, really, really like us to do is to do shit for the real Ghostbusters as well. Like, so I think Lauren's question is pertinent here because it's what franchise?
Yeah.
So it's across the whole thing with Ghostbusters. Like there's films that we're missing that, like, you know, we've not done Army of Darkness yet. We really want to do RoboCop, do some more stuff with Terminator. That's me winking.
Posters for those things at the moment.
Yeah. but franchise, yeah, Ghostbusters.
Yeah. I mean,
what do you want to do?
I'd love to do.
Don't you
Star
want to do
Trek,
a Mario?
I'd love to do.
You
Star
want to do
Trek
a Mario?
Next Generation. You know
that's not happening. You always say you want to do a Mario.
Yeah, I would. I would do. I would do. If Nintendo is a franchise, I would do that. But it's not. I'll never ever get to because that's just how Nintendo.
Mario is a franchise, isn't it? Mario is a franchise. So.
Zelda. This Zelda movie. I reckon I might have an in with that. That might be a thing because that's going to be live action, which is more interesting than doing animated movie posters, I think.
Who's directed it?
It's someone that I wish wasn't.
Did we
think.
Talk about this already?
Yeah. I'm pretty about the whole thing. Well, yeah. Now I'm just going to Google again for a while. So, Van.
All right. While you're looking at that, as a side question, MC Geek asked what are the movies you would most like to create art for that you haven't? So, not necessarily. Like franchises.
Where's Ball? Now I've talked about him. Maze Runner guy's doing a Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, but he's done the new Apes, and if the new Apes is good, then maybe he's coming up. Because I've just done a poster for it and written his name on it, so.
And to be honest, I think what the problem is with me too, it's not necessary, because the Maze Runner films
Maze Runner's
fine.
For kids, isn't it?
Well, it's like young adult stuff. It's more that you could say almost anyone except for Miyazaki, and I'd be like, nah, fuck it, shit. I love that franchise so much, I want it to be perfect, that there's only very few people I think can actually do it. So good luck to him. Anything can be good. I hope he does well. Yeah, 100%.
The Apes looks really good. I'm hoping it looks good.
Yeah.
So what was the question? Sorry.
What films would you most like to do posters for that you haven't?
Oh man, I've done nearly all of it.
You've done every film in existence.
Yeah, so I think while you two are thinking, Army of Darkness is definitely something I'd like to do something for. Predator, Alien, Aliens.
Vice Press, yeah.
Yeah, probably. Clerks.
I want to do the key art poster, as in the one that's on the buses, the one that's on all the billboards for Alien Romulus. I want to do that.
I am genuinely excited for that film.
I don't think I'm going to get it, because they'll go, obviously, probably with like a big agency. And like, I don't know if I'd be able to compete. Because when you do a key art poster nowadays, it's not just the art, it's got to go. This size, that size, this way, that way, internet, da, 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 a million different languages.
But you've gotten close to it before with these re-releases.
I've got a taste of it with The Phantom Menace, because that's lots of different sizes on that and lots of different languages and stuff. So I think I could do it. But I would love to do it for like a big new movie. And I think Alien Romulus this year would be... I just would like to.
The reason I find this question and similar questions, like even the last one, tricky to answer, is because I find that I get most excited about things that just sort of pop up that I don't really think about. So even films that I'm like, I haven't even seen it, I have nothing about that, but then you kind of start you kind of start rolling on it and tinkering, and then it becomes exciting to make, you know. So I don't know. I like I like too many things to sort of choose, and I also I'm happy to work on stuff that is maybe not immediately that exciting, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Tell you what I actually want to do all the time now. All I want to do is make VHSs. That's all I want to do.
Yeah.
So it is anything fun, you want to stick on a VHS.
It is really fun. I'm looking forward to Oppenheimer on VHS. That's going to be a good one.
Your favorite film? Film of the year?
Totally.
Open house. So this is from Stephen Football Monkey.
Hello, Football Monkey.
Open house is coming up. Don't we know it? Coming up rapidly. Don't we know it? who is the one guest you'd like to have there? Basically, you can have dinner with anyone. It's basically you can have a dinner with anyone ever question. Are we talking alive? Are we talking dead? Are we talking? Is there an artist there that we'd really like to get there that we? I guess for the most part, it's geographically restricted.
William Shatner.
He's right behind you now. What do you mean?
Lives
in your house. Bill.
The well-known poster artist, William Shatner.
I bet he could do it if he wanted. You know, I idolize that man. I'm sure he could do a poster if he really wanted to. He's just not put his mind to it.
No.
Oh, Jesus. Does he need the hairpiece for that?
You laugh, but you know it's true.
Yeah, it's hard. This is
It has been. That's one of the greatest albums ever made, you know?
Oh, man, what an album. Ben Folds, man. So cool.
Yep.
That's possibly the best answer to this question, because I think it'd be hard to answer without making anyone feel left out. Yes-ish.
What do you mean?
What, like real people?
You just say you want Reese Witherspoon there or something. Like, it's something that's ridiculous that you'll never get. That's what you say.
Well, the people we've got, I'm happy with. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. Yeah, this isn't, because we...
Losers.
Because we everybody that's invited is kind of handpicked that me and Matt want there. Everybody that's kind of is coming along. And there's lots of artists
Thanks
that
a lot.
Want there that haven't been able to make it.
Well, that was going to be my answer, was the person I want there is me.
So, I was leading up to that.
You were sort of invited.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is the person that I would most want there is Flory.
So, oh, yeah.
There we go.
That's so nice. No, I don't care. I don't want a dickhead there. I want Shatner.
Yeah. I mean, I'd take Shatner over me as well. No, twice a year might be too much, I think. That might be too much.
Yeah.
Get sick of each other.
When it gets bigger, when it's a bigger convention, sure.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay.
What are you up to, Matt?
I'm aping about. I'm doing apes strong together.
I wish I could do anything. It's, what do you call it? Half term. I call it school holidays.
School holidays as well. We have summer holidays, which is 6 weeks, big one. And then each term, you have a half term where it's a couple of weeks. Easter.
2 weeks, yeah.
Easter holiday, which we run at the moment, is 2 weeks instead of 1 week.
Right. This is another open house related question, which is, I guess, relevant to two of us here. And also, tickets will be on sale now.
Man, so, I'm so hungry. It's 12:45.
Tickets will be on sale now. How did Vice Press go from creating posters to incredible community events?
Oh.
I don't know, and I can't believe it's happened, honestly.
It's interesting from the outside watching it, because I remember you guys having what was originally dubbed open house, and I was like, why have they had all these people to what's essentially a closet in a business park? There was heaps of people there, and it was like people were having a great time. And then it just carries on, doesn't it?
So why did we decide to do open house the first time, James? Can you remember?
Get rid of posters? Make them come to us?
I think we were excited about having an office, weren't we?
Yeah, we kind of moved into that big office space, and we just thought, oh, wouldn't it be nice to just kind of do something outside of the conventions for a day or whatever? Like, yeah. I think Mondo had done, like, the flat file sales, and I think the Darus had done stuff where they kind of invited people over to their office, and it wasn't long after we'd been over to Amblin-esque, and we kind of thought, oh, it'd be nice to do something for folks that support us over here. So we've
100 people showed up, didn't they? So then we were we need to.
It was long.
Then a pandemic happened, which not paid to any more plans.
My brain fell out. The pandemic happened, and then we were like, what else can we do? It is it's in the thing. It's a community thing. We just want to do something. You know, you've got things like Thought Bubble, and then over in the States, you've got Flatstock and MondoCon and all things like that. It's just nice to be able to do something where like-minded people can get together, have a chat. We've become really friendly with a lot of the artists that we work with. We've become friendly with a lot of the collectors. So it's just a gathering of mates, really. And we'll, however big we
that's
get.
That's a better way to put it, because I'm not really a fan of community. I think that can quickly turn into something cliquish and weird. And it's more just like a thing for people that like that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I think, and I've said this about like one of the big reasons that I continue to spend exorbitant amounts of money to get over for Thought Bubble is that I think in this day and age, it is more important than ever to do real things and see real people, because we can get very down in the dumps and negative about things that happen online, and because it's a fucking nightmare, especially if you have to exist on Twitter and Instagram, like which we do with the jobs that we're doing. So I think it's good to get out there, see the faces, I know this sounds a bit weird, but like have people come up to you and say a nice thing to you in your face. And, you know, we appreciate all the support online from the people that are nice, but unfortunately with the way the internet works, you don't always see that stuff as much as you see the horrible shit. So just to see that the world exists, that people like similar things that you do, and to just, you know, have a little, nice little group hug for a minute is beneficial, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Softies. Now let's get back to swear about stuff.
Yeah. So Carly, this one's from Carly AF, Carly Draws, who we've also spoken favorably already of today's
episode. You've been on this show back in the day.
Yes, she's
very much like her artwork. I think she's great.
Yeah, she's fun. She's done some cool Star Trek stuff, which should see the light of day soon. And it's a Star Trek theme. Now, I don't know the answer to this because I don't really know Star Trek well enough. So you're going to have to answer for me. So which classic Star Trek character would you all be?
Whoa. This is dangerous.
Right, so I would like to be Captain Kirk. I love him, and I've always sort of idolized
your bones, though.
No, yeah. I'm not. Yeah. If it's classic, does TNG count?
Yeah,
classic?
TNG counts.
Right, so Worf, because he's just a grumpy sod.
That's true.
I would say Worf is who I'm most like.
Okay.
And if we needed a man to stand up the back and shoot the guns, you would definitely put your hand up for that as well, I think.
And I'd get ignored all the time as well when I make suggestions. I feel
you don't
like
get ignored.
You running
Worf
off
is always saying shoot them, and then they go no, and then it turns out he was right. Like
he's constantly running off on his own to listen to his version of angry thrash metal, which is just to play with his stick in the hollow deck, yeah. Right?
Exactly. So, I love Worf. Worf is great.
Yep. All right. I'm into that. Oh, Jesus. Let's do James, because that's
if you
more
say
funny.
Wesley, I'm going to kick off.
Wesley.
Hey, you know what?
You're
not Wesley, yeah. But he was a good... I am a big fan of Wesley Crusher, not because he's not a fucking wiener, because we know he is, but because he added to the family on the ship. Like, that's his whole point. Cute. And his last episode...
I feel like you're softening the blow of Wesley.
No, his last two episodes were great.
Maybe Geordi, he's a bit of a goody-two-shoes.
No, I was thinking Geordi.
I don't know, maybe not, though.
You just want to wear the cool glasses.
The thing with Geordi is he's always unlucky in love, and that's not you, so...
No. Yeah, I think you're Data-esque, because you've always... I've seen you... It's like you shut down all... human components and just go into like, right, I'm researching new microphones or whatever, and it's like he's just gone, he's in there.
I think we could say Jean-Luc Picard, you know, because you're quite like serious,
you know. Okay. Gets things done.
Yeah, you get things done. Quite serious.
Right, I'll take it, move on.
Yeah, I think that's the closest one for me.
But he's Jean-Luc when he had the hairpiece on in that one episode where he was young, right? So he still has the hair.
Goodness, got a haircut tomorrow.
Thick out of hair. I can't nominate my own character. I think I'm just a peanut that only exists in this time, aren't I?
Who are you like?
Don't you say I'm that guy that what's the guy that's constantly having pratfalls and what's his name? Ends up plugged into the machine and going super brain in TNG.
Yeah, well, that's who we all really are. Barclay.
Yeah.
Or Broccoli, as they nickname him. Yeah, in reality, like, we'd like to be Shatner, we'd like to be Worf, we'd like to be Captain God. In reality, we're all Barclay.
The biggest loser.
Awkward
in
social situations, late all the time. Doesn't really like talking to people or contributing, and yet it's always foisted upon him, and he always just ends up in such ridiculous situations. Turns into a spider, or what else happens to him? There's that one where he thinks he's got like transporter psychosis. Because there's like something in the transporter beam, and he's just like, I'm going crazy.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah, we're all here. Right. Is that it for questions?
Well, now I want to know who I am in a Star Trek, but I don't think I'm anybody. This sucks. This stinks.
Okay, I can think of someone for
you. Yeah, you know. I'm going to be some guy. Everything. I'm not going to be a Ferengi or something, am I?
No, you're not a Ferengi.
This is a real...
I need to do an online quiz.
Is there an online quiz? Who are you in TNG? I'll go through and do the 14 questions or whatever. Which... TNG character.
Riker, but I mean, nobody's as cool as Riker,
nobody
so it's not possible.
Pretty close, though. Here we go. Brainfall. Start quiz. All right, you guys keep going. You're in 10 forward, and Guinan wants to know what you'd like to drink. You'll have wine, champagne, moonshine, a chocolate martini, or a Hawaiian sunset.
Jesus.
You're supposed to have, like, grape juice, aren't you? Isn't that what Worf gets? And then he says,
I'm going to have a Hawaiian sunset. I don't even know what that is. Next.
I'd pay to you as that. It's a tequila thing. It's like a... Tequila sunrise, essentially.
Okay. Who are you?
I'm not going to read every question, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Right. While he's doing that, what news have we got this week, Matt?
What do you mean?
Open house. Tickets on sale. First line up to 9 announced. Yeah. Under 12s go free. We're working on doing 5x5 freebies like we did last time for everybody.
Yep.
New venue, awesome venue. Working on a couple of food vendors. Mark and Me is going to be there from Mark and Me podcast. We've got a film screening of RoboCop with potentially a free poster. That's with Celluloid Screens, partnership with those guys. Have I forgotten anything?
Can we talk about the thing that's releasing on Thursday, or we're not allowed, or will this be live on that day?
Yeah, because I've just left a long enough gap in case I need to cut it out. I can cut it out.
So the Vault Steelbooks are coming out.
They are.
So it's what we've already done is Steelbook this week.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, next week, but this week.
Soon.
Yeah. So, yeah, they go on sale on the 15th, so it should be today. If this should go up on the 15th, so they should be available to buy today. So it's 7 of the original 8 film vaults. The 1917 isn't getting a steelbook. Not our decision. Don't at us.
It's just licensing stuff as always, you know. Yeah. There's always like reasons.
Like with the other film vaults, we are going to be doing a special version. So we should know by the time this goes up, hopefully today, there should be a version going up, or at least this week, that is the steelbook with a poster. So we did with the original edition, with the original vault ones. The difference is these are going to be edition size. So it's going to be a steelbook plus an editions size
A2
poster. So that's A2. Yep. And if anyone goes, wow, that's hard to frame. Well, in the UK, it's not. It's easy. Yeah. Get it from anywhere.
We're in the UK, so you know what?
And if you're outside of the UK, just buy one of our frames. We do frames.
You were going to say.
I've got a few shipping bits and bobs just to figure out with them. They don't ship until end of June, July.
They can go in wraparounds, can't they? Because it's
yeah, they can. Yeah.
Whoa, Sam, who are you?
I'm Geordie.
Well, you are half blind, so you know. Yeah,
and always in trouble with the ladies.
You'll have
Geordie's
to send
pretty cool. The Geordie roll's good when he goes under the door.
I could do that. You know, a slow, very slow roll.
Slow your roll.
Geordie LaForge.
And he's got that meme. He's got that meme, hasn't he?
He does have the most style, most iconic look, which is exactly like me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Classy. Right, that's it.
All right, then.
I'm glad that was it. Was everyone else's
question? Who won the questions? Yeah, we should
probably say that.
More questions.
So who won the questions?
No, I'm saying for next time.
Oh, more questions.
More questions.
Yes. You have the most chance of getting read if you comment on the thingy. Please click like if you've watched.
Hold on. We haven't read the question that was on YouTube.
Jesus Christ, that was loud.
We're telling people to comment on the YouTube. We should probably read the questions on the YouTube.
It better be a good one.
Can everyone hear me crunching this ice, by the way, on every episode?
Yeah, I can hear you, but it might cut out on the...
Cool, I should probably stop
doing that. I do like this question. So this is from Dan Lyles. So Dan pops up every now and again. He supports us. So, a cheeky little plug for something he's done here. So I like it, though. I'm going to roll with it. So Dan's got a book called Underexposed, apparently. Now... That is, it features posters of films that were never made. So, guess films that were announced and that never
right,
seen
right, right.
the day. So what films that fell into production hell Would you like to make or see a poster for?
So he wants three ideas for volume two then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What?
Geez.
I'm all for it.
I don't know.
World Cup Returns, because they were going to do that and then they didn't. So yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too with back to the Legacy sequel thing. I feel like all those ones we would have said have now, they're back on, like the Beetlejuice situation and
RoboCop's not back on though, is it? Was it Darren Aronofsky or someone crazy was going to be making it?
Oh yeah, that rings a bell.
There was Ghostbusters Go to Hell. Was that one
the Alien movie that District 9 guy was going to do?
Oh yeah,
oh yeah,
that looked interesting, didn't it?
With Michael Bean.
Yes,
that's
a very good one.
You know what I would like to see a poster for his book or whatever? The before The Rise of Skywalker was The Rise of Skywalker, and we were like, don't let that guy make the movie. But then we probably should have just let that guy make the movie.
The one that was mental.
Yeah.
Colin Trevorrow was Star Wars.
Yeah, but it made, like, reading about what it was and looking at the concept art, was like it followed on from The Last Jedi more so than what they ended up making. So I'd like to see. At least see some more Star Wars of things.
I like The Rise of Skywalker, though, because I like when all that lightning comes out of Palpatine and just destroys a million spaceships or something. Or no, is he bringing them to life? I can't remember. Anyway, I remember going, this is mental. This is crazy. I'm here for it. And there was a slug. There was a big slug alien wandering around, wasn't there?
Yeah.
For no reason. Yeah. I loved it.
So you remember how the galaxy wouldn't come, but then Lando flew away for half the movie and then they did come because Lando went and made everyone fly to the
Mary.
It was pretty cool.
The spaceships came out of the ground.
Yeah.
Like magic. Were they just there already under the ground? And he was like, hey, "This is gonna be a great surprise."
fully stocked with people that were manning them and flying them. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And each one's got a Death Star on it.
Yeah, they definitely thought that all through, didn't they? Hey, pretty cool.
Yeah. To be honest, I enjoyed it on that level, that Flash Gordon. Ridiculous level, like as a self-contained film. It looked good, you know? It looked really good.
I don't disagree, but also it should not have been the third film in that trilogy.
No, but like Palpatine on a great big gimbal thing with his fingers
all the shit's
and stuff
cool.
hanging off. I was like, that's cool shit.
Yeah. All the shit's cool.
It's just when you start to think about the practicalities.
It's when
of
you
it.
Watch it in line with all the other ones, you go, it doesn't seem to really... Marry up, it's like a weird own movie thing.
Mm.
What were we talking about before we just start talking?
Legacy films that never got made that we'd like to see a poster for. So we've got RoboCop Returns.
Well, just
we've
got films that never
go
got
to
made,
hell. Yeah. Ghostbusters Go to Hell.
Yeah,
we've got.
Is that what they were going to call it?
Yeah, something like that. I think that was one of the alien film that we don't know the subtitle for. And there was Star Wars Duel of the Fates, I think it was going to be called, was it?
Something like that.
Yeah, they're all up there.
Star Trek, the original version of Star Trek 4 would have been interesting. I'd have gone for that.
Tell me about
it.
Eddie Murphy was going to be in it.
What?
Yep.
Oh, really?
What else? Tell me more about it.
It was the same basic storyline.
Yeah.
Except Eddie Murphy was the human that they... to talk to back in time, so it wasn't that Gillian lady, it was Eddie Murphy, funny man.
What's the actual Star Trek 4 about?
The whales, it's when they go to save the
whales. Right.
So okay. You know,
I don't know why I think
he
that's
was gonna
five.
Do it and then he did Beverly Hills Cop instead, which, you know,
fair
correct.
Move, yeah, good
choice,
move.
Yeah,
I think it was Beverly, or was that Ghostbusters where he was going to be Ghostbusters and he did Beverly Hills Cop instead of Ghostbusters? And
sure, both, maybe.
That might have been a bit later.
So if you want a feature, just like Dan, get commenting on YouTube. Like, subscribe,
if you want us to
comment.
half answer your question,
I tell you what,
forget what we're talking about.
Let's go back to Star Trek. All of these in hell Star Trek movies since the last
movie. The Pike in...
They were going to do Chris Hemsworth, weren't they? They announced him, and then he was like, you've not asked me, and I've not signed a contract, and
no. I mean,
So
he said, give me $100 million.
Basically, yeah, and they were like, nah.
Mm.
But that would have been awesome. Like, they should have done it. Kirk and his dad, Chris Hemsworth was the biggest movie star on the planet at the time because it was literally right after Ragnarok.
Yeah.
They should have done it.
They really should. And instead, they did Men in Black International.
Because imagine those two Chris's.
To Chris-fest.
Just sparring. It would have been amazing because, you know, he meets his own dad that he never knew and then he turns out maybe he doesn't really like his dad.
100%.
And then learn how to get along and it writes itself.
Yeah, it would have been quite cool. A Men in Black film with Will Smith in it, to answer a question earlier.
What do you mean? He's in three of them. What are you talking about?
Legacy sequels.
You want a legacy sequel? Like those films. Old man Will Smith when right. he comes back.
Okay.
Whose was the best question then? What was the best question? I'll tell you who.
I couldn't remember that last one, so it's that one.
You're going to have to give us a quick recap of questions that you read.
Go for it. So we had Dan's legacy sequels that never got made, make a poster for sequels / thing. We had Adam Shepard with what album cover do you wish you designed or could redesign? We had Todd Day Rov with legacy sequels being the big thing. Which franchise would you make a sequel to? Choose a director with two leads. We had Oliver Rankin with what unconventional sources outside of film inspire poster designs. We had Carly with what classic Star Trek character would you be? We had...
You didn't read that.
What?
What classics? Oh, yes, you did. Sorry.
Yeah,
Star
did.
Trek.
We did it all. Researching it.
Good Johnny.
Luke James, considering Toxic Avenger got a recent reboot movie, which seemingly forgotten property do you think deserves a new release?
Oh man, I can't remember any of these.
I vote, and I'll give a reason for it, I vote the music-based album cover question because
I don't think
we've ever talked about music on this show, and I think it gave good chat. Provided good chat.
Yeah.
That's the winner
chicken dinner for me
well,
as well.
Todd, sorry. You were leading all the way up and then Adam Shepherd just pipped you to the
post.
Todd asked about legacy sequels being a big thing. Which franchise would you make? Because you said that was the best question about 10
At
minutes
the time,
ago.
It was.
It
but
was.
Then, was that after we did the music one?
It was.
But I can Maybe. Convince anyone of anything if I have a few seconds. So I've done it.
Yeah, I like Adam's. I'm happy to go with the music one as
done.
Well. So Adam, shoot us a message, a DM, an email, and we'll send you four copies.
Oh, so they have to watch the show to actually get their prize.
They do.
It's
yeah,
very
we're not
clever, James.
Online.
Very
yeah,
clever.
Yeah.
So why would we do that? Yeah.
So we'll send us a message, and we'll send you four copies of Escape from New York by Flory.
Who doesn't need those? You know.
We'll pick some gems.
All right. Oh, I forgot I'm the host. Oh my goodness. This has been a schmozzle, this one. So, you know, if you feel like coming back after all this crap that we've just spoken for the last hour, then do so next week. We don't know what we're doing. But we might again, I think every time at the end we're gonna say we're gonna watch Thunderdome for next week, okay? Just like we did last episode.
For next week. Yeah.
All right. That'll do us. We're off. Bye. I'm the only one waving.